رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الاخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. امين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today inshallah we'll start once I pull up the surah, the end of surah Zumar, surah number 39, and then inshallah we'll proceed and see what we can learn from the 24th juz inshallah ta'ala. The ayah number is 32. Okay, Muhammad. So before we proceed and study these surahs in a bit more detail, there's three surahs that we have today. We have Surah Zumar, which is the 39th surah. We have Surah Ghafir, which is the 40th surah, also known as Surah Mu'min. This surah has two names. And Surah number 41, which is Surah Fussilat, also known as Surah Hamim Sajda. So those are the three surahs that we have. What we will notice is Surah Zumar begins in the previous juz for a part of it, and then the rest of it concludes here. The ending ayat of Surah Zumar are some of the most powerful ayat in Quran, and we'll study them in some detail inshallah, because there is so many things we can learn from them. But briefly, what just as a very overview of what is being mentioned in these three surahs, there is a very deep link in all three of them. I'll point out a few. If you start from the beginning, you notice that Surah Zumar, surah number 39, begins with Allah says, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. This is in the previous juz, but that's not a problem. I'm just going to pull out the next surah here. Surah Ghafir, or Surah Mu'min as it's also known, begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying Hamim, and then he says, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Alim. Right? Surah Zumar began with Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. Surah Ghafir begins Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Alim. And just this introduction, which is almost identical, tells us that there is a very deep relationship between the two surahs. Surah Zumar, for example, talks about, you know, Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being solely devoted to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Pure ibadah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ibadah in every form. Ibadah meaning physical worship, ibadah meaning in our hearts, that we don't lower ourselves to anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our hearts we are content with what happens to us, the qada of Allah, we are content with it. That is also part of us lowering ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Surah Zumar you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this a lot. فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصِ. He says, قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. This word مُخْلِص repeats four or five times in Surah Zumar, to show that the essence of the surah here is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the proofs that are needed to be convinced that Allah is the only one who is to be worshipped. This is Surah Zumar. Okay, Surah Ghafir then talks about another very important part of Tawheed, which is Dua. Which is Ad-Dua. And like the Prophet ﷺ has said in a sound hadith, that Ad-Dua huwa al-ibadah. That the essence of worship is making Dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what we'll notice in Surah Ghafir, for example, is it begins when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Ghafir is Surah number 40. We'll come back to Surah Zumar in just a little bit, because we're going to study the ending in a bit more detail. We'll skim through Ghafir and Fussilat to get a thematic idea of what's going on. Surah Zumar 39 talked about Tawheed of Allah, how we should be convinced of worshipping Allah alone. Surah Ghafir talks about a very particular aspect of it, which is Dua. And Surah number 41, Surah Fussilat, talks about once you are convinced of Tawheed, and once you have a very strong spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is dua, then what you should do is you should take this message and propagate it to people. Ad-da'wah. In fact, all the surahs that begin with Hameem, Surah Ghafir, number 40, number 41, Fussilat, 42, Shura, 43, Zukhruf, 44, Dukhan, 45, Jathiyah, 46, Ahqaf. These seven surahs in a row all begin with the letters Hameem. And there's a lot of similarity in the message in all seven of them. In essence, all these seven surahs are giving us the tools to be able to worship Allah and then to able to call others to Allah's worship. You see, when a person is convinced of the message, you have really one of two options. Either you're convinced of it fully, and then because you're so convinced of it, you want everybody else to believe in it as well. Or you're convinced of it, but that your level of conviction is not as high. And because it's not as high, you believe that this is just, I'll keep it to myself, and you know, people can just live their lives, and that's it. So these surahs actually set the platform. Actually, you know, before this, even the surahs, we talked about this in Surah Baqarah even. When Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. The Prophet was sent to us to give us the message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he delivered the message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was to be the witness over this nation, the Muslims, on the Day of Judgment, it was his job to make sure the message was delivered. But once the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the conveying of the message now fell on our shoulders. That's why Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So you can be witnesses over mankind. What does that mean? That means, just like the messenger who is a witness over his nation, every messenger is a witness over his nation. And what is he testifying? That yes, Ya Allah, on the Day of Judgment, he will say, I conveyed the message. I made sure, I did everything to make sure the message reached the people. Likewise, the same role is expected of us as well. So this idea of spreading the message is not really an option. And it's not that all of us are expected to be super da'is or whatnot. The capacity will differ. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Even if it is one ayah, a small piece of information that you can convey from me, do so. And he said, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبُ. When he, on the last khutbah of the Hajj, when all the Sahaba were gathered, and he asked them, you know, have I conveyed the message to you? And they said, yes. نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةَ وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةَ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةَ. Right? Yes, you have done your job. And then when they said, you've done your job, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first pointed to the sky and he said, اللَّهُمَّ فَاشْهَدْ. Three times he said, oh Allah, bear witness to this. I've delivered the message. And then he said, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ الشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبُ. The one who's here should take this message to the one who's not here. So this idea of the message, first being convinced of it, and once we have reached conviction, then giving it to everybody else around us, our families, our extended families, our friends, our colleagues, in every capacity, the job is to spread it. And we don't live in a time where the message is dominant. In the time of the Sahaba, for example, the Khulafa al-Rashidun, the message was dominant. The Quran, you know, it had political power and authority. We don't live in those times anymore. So what is required of us now is we continue to spread the message at whatever capacity. Doesn't matter how many people are getting it, how many people are accepting it, that's besides the point. But the idea is to convey it, to convey it. And that's why these surahs, all the hameems, really focus on all the different tools that the da'i needs. Spiritual growth. Surah Ghafir talks about that. Surah Fussilat talks a lot about the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an is needed for the... That's the beginning of the da'wah. That's where all da'wah should begin. The Qur'an. And of course the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All these surahs mention the story of Musa Alayhi Salaam. Very prominent. Because Musa Alayhi Salaam is in many ways the role model da'i. The things that he had to go through in so many different ways. He had to interact with Fir'aun. He had to interact with Bani Israel. He had to go meet Khidr. He had so many different roles that he had to play. So that, the way he was brought up as a stranger in a palace, his nation are being oppressed, but he's also living as the prince in the castle of the one who's oppressing the nation. Very, very unique circumstances. So there's many lessons in Musa alayhi salam's story that we find in the Hamims. Now, Surah Ghafir particularly focuses on dua. Particularly focuses on dua. So you will notice the word dua a lot. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very beginning, غافر الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. Which means that Allah is the one who forgives the sin. قابل التوب, He accepts the repentance. Acceptor of repentance. Right? The one who repents to Allah is making dua. Shadeed al-iqab, the one who doesn't repent, should know that Allah is also very severe in punishment. The tawl, He has the owner of at-tawl. Tawla means to be long. Tawl means to have reach. Somebody who has reach and power and authority. The tawl, He is the one who has power and authority and reach. La ilaha illahu, there's nobody who is worthy of any act of worship but Him. Truly worship is all for Him. Ilayhi al-masir, and to Him is the return. Now, in the same note, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of the angels in ayah number 7. الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The angels who are carrying Allah's throne, and those angels that are around that throne. What are they doing? They are yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim. They are constantly praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly glorifying Him, saying that tasbih is to say Allah is free from all faults, all defects. Everything that is not appropriate to be associated to Allah, we say subhanallah, He is above that. And bihamdihi, they are praising Him. Tasbih, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, is our foundation of understanding. Is the foundation of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of our understanding of who Allah is. When we say subhanallah, we say Allah is above all flaws. When we say alhamdulillah, we say every good is because of Him, and He is Himself, you know, the one who deserves all praise. That's how incredible He is. So He is absolutely incredible. All praise is for Him. He has no flaws, subhanallah. And all good we have in life is because of Him. This is subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. This is what this phrase means. And that's why the Prophet said that these two phrases, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, karimatani, khafifatani al-lisan, very easy to say, but they're thaqilatani al-mizan, they're very heavy on the scale on the Day of Judgment. And habibatani al-rahman, Allah loves them a lot because it really puts, you know, it captures the essence of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. These two phrases. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahil azim. Now, these angels are constantly saying this. And yu'minuna bihi, and they are constantly believing in Allah. And wayastaghfiruna lilladhina amanu, they are constantly asking Allah to forgive those who have iman. That's all they're doing. Subhanallah. There's angels that are asking Allah His forgiveness for us. And that's what they do. And Allah quotes their dua. He says, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً, that our Master, Your mercy has encompassed everything. Your mercy is basically, you know, وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً, it's covered all bases. All bases are covered by Your mercy. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ وَعِلْمًا, and Your knowledge also covers all bases. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا, so forgive those who, not آمَنُوا, فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا Those who have repented. Forgive those who want to be forgiven. Very important that if we want forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to take the first steps. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُوا مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah does not change people unless they decide to change themselves. Unless they decide to change themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change their situation. And once they do decide to change, because tawbah is change. Tawbah is changing our past. It's trying to change the mistakes that we did, changing that and becoming a better person in the future. That is the essence of tawbah. Apologizing for our mistakes of the past. Apologizing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apologizing to the people that we have hurt. That is the essence of tawbah. So, the person who wants to change, فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا O Allah, forgive that person and help him change. وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ And then they're obviously trying to change. They are also following your path. وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ And at the end of the day, save them from the great punishment of hellfire. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَادِنِنِ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ O our Master, enter them into the gardens of paradise, the ones that you have promised them. وَعَدْتَهُمْ And also وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ And the ones who are righteous from their fathers, وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ And from their spouses, وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ And from their children. Aba also includes, by the way, the mothers. Aba does not mean that it's only the fathers. When it's used like that, it means father and mother are both included. وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ Spouses, وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ And their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Enter all of them, as long as they have met the baseline of being good people, صَالِحِينَ مَنْ صَلَحَ Enter all of them in Jannah together. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ And you are the one, no doubt, who is Al-Aziz. You have might. You are the one who gives might. Anybody who has Izzah and might and glory, it's because Allah gave him that. And Al-Hakim, and you have wisdom. You can, when you choose to give somebody something, it is done with wisdom. When you choose to take it away from somebody, it is done with wisdom as well. Because you see, somebody who is Al-Aziz, but not Hakim, they have power and might, a lot of strength, but no wisdom, that is a tyrant at worst, or at best a fool. There's no other way. Right? Either you're a tyrant, or you're a fool, if you're just overly powerful, but you don't have any brains. And you don't have any wisdom. The person who has a lot of wisdom, is somebody who is weak, right? If he doesn't have power, just only wisdom, he thinks very well, he's very rational, or she, but doesn't have any power or influence or authority, that person is also useless. In fact, that person is weak. Nobody cares about what they have to say. Both of them together is the perfection. Having power, having authority, having influence, and having the wisdom to exercise that authority and power correctly. That is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ And O Allah, save them from the consequences of evil or evil deeds. Save them from سَيِّئَاتِ In this life they will fall into many traps. There will be many temptations. Many things will distract them. وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep protecting them. Keep Stay with them. There's a very beautiful dua of the Prophet ﷺ in which he says, "Allahumma kun, what's it? Wamkur li wa la tamkur alayya." I forgot the dua. One of the parts of the dua is, I can't remember right now. No problem. Is one of the parts is, "Oh Allah, be with me." But don't be against me. Be with me and don't be against me. Meaning that life will have ups and downs. Stay with me during the ups and the downs. وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ Save them from these traps. that are part of life. وَمَنْ تَقِي السَّيِّئَاتِ, and of course the one who is protected from the evil consequences or from the traps of life. يَوْمَئِذٍ, on the day of judgment, of course, فَقَدْ رَحِمْتَهُ, and you have for sure covered him with mercy and love. Meaning you basically took him through life, making sure this person doesn't lose his way. That person has been the recipient of Allah's mercy. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and that is the great attainment. This is the first dua in the surah. What's interesting is the angels are making this dua. You notice that, right? This is the angels who are making this dua. And what's fascinating is, I mentioned this I think on the first or second day, that the angels are role models for the believers. The angels are role models. Their humility, their adab, their manners when they speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their excellence, they have incredible knowledge. They are angels who have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since the day they were created. Their excellence. And when they die, or when the day of judgment starts, they would feel that they've never done, they haven't really fulfilled the right of Allah's worship. That excellence. And also their dua. The way they make dua. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which says that if a person makes dua for their brother, a person makes dua for his brother, in their absence, then an angel is sent who makes dua, who says ameen to that person's dua. So if I'm making dua for my friend and he's not here, then everything I ask for my friend, the angel says ameen wa laka bimithli, and you should also have the same thing. We also have angels, for example, a very famous incident when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, a man came and started to abuse Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, just, you know, verbally. And the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there, and Abu Bakr was silent. And when the man just went on and on and on, Abu Bakr, of course, started to defend himself. And when Abu Bakr started to defend himself, the Prophet ﷺ got up and left. And Abu Bakr immediately, radiallahu anhu, went and met, caught up to the Prophet. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, what is this? This man was abusing me and you were sitting there. And when I defend myself, you left. He says, when you were silent, there was an angel who was defending you. And as soon as you started to speak, that angel left. And then I decided to leave as well. So the idea of being, you know, not being pulled into a debate, an irrational, mudslinging argument. Right? We learned that from the angel. If someone is slinging mud at us, we just ignore that person. And the angel is there as a sign of honor that this is a good thing to do. As soon as we start to sling mud back at the person, even though we're justified, the angel leaves, showing that now we have left the high honorable position. We've kind of taken it one notch below. You see? So, and an angel is there, that's something that's good. When the angel is doing something that is a role model action. The angels are the ones who also are present when Allah is mentioned, right, in a gathering, because that's a blessed gathering. That's a good place to be. So the angels are there. The point is, the angels are role models. So their dua here is also a role model dua. We should make this dua for our brothers and sisters, because we'll be included in that inshallah as well. And this is a really beautiful dua that we should make, that we find in the Quran. Now, also on this note, before we skip to the other parts of the surah, also on this note, we find a very interesting passage in the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is showing us a scene. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدَعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. The people who disbelieved will be called on this day. And when they'll be called, and it'll be said to them, لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hatred for you is greater than your hatred for yourself. إِذْ تُدَعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ, when you were called, or you were invited to faith, to iman, فَتَكْفُرُونَ, but that you refused. At that moment, what this is implying is that these people who were invited to believe in Allah and then rejected it, they would have so much intense regret that they would in fact be hating themselves. And we saw that in Surah Furqan, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ, when the wrongdoer will bite his hands out of intense regret and out of just hating what he did, the choices that he made or she made in the previous life. So their hate for themselves is implied here, which is really stark if you think about it, that a person hates themselves because of the choices they made. That's the emotional toll that will be taken on these people on the Day of Judgment. That's how bad it will be. They will say, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنَ. By the way, notice the past tense. قَالُوا, they said, even though it's in the future. And this is from the subtleties of Quran, that future events like the Day of Judgment, which are certain to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in the past as if they've already happened. قَالُوا, they said, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنَ. Master, you have given us life, you have taken our life twice. وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنَ, and you have given us life twice. What does that mean? Two deaths and two lives. The explanation for that is the first time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the souls, all the souls of everybody were created at the same time. They were all created, and this is something we read in Surah A'raf, that all of us, our souls, while you were conscious, were made to testify, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your master? And everyone said, بَلَى, yes, you are our master. And because our bodies were not there at that time, it was only the souls, when our bodies and our souls are together like now, the recollection of that event is our fitrah. The remnants rather of that event is our fitrah, our moral compass that tells us this is right and this is wrong. And the most, the highest, the peak of what's right is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the worst case scenario of what's wrong is doing shirk. So the first instance of death was when a person was created in their soul, everybody was created in their souls, and then they were basically, the souls were put to death, meaning that they were temporarily put on hold. Then when we were conceived in our mother's wombs, the angel comes and blows that soul into the womb after the 120, on the 121st day. And thus the person, the fetus, turns into a human being. A body, flesh and soul. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us life the first time. Then when a person lives their entire life making choices, then they die. Right? People die. That is the second death. The first death was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the souls to sleep. First life was when He gave us, joined the soul with the body in the womb of our mothers. Then the second death is when we actually die. And our bodies will leave our souls again. Our souls will leave our bodies, the body will go back into the earth. And the second life would again be the combining of the body and soul again on the Day of Judgment. The combining of the body and soul again on the Day of Judgment. So, giving life here means the body and the soul are brought together. That's why in Surah, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, in Surah Taqwir we find this. That when the souls are coupled, meaning, when people are coupled, sorry, means that when their bodies are coupled again with their souls, when they're joined again with their souls, that's the Day of Judgment. So that's the second giving of life, and that is something that will be happening again. Now check out this really interesting ayah. They say that, Rabbana, Master, you have taken our lives twice. The first soul, second actual death. وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ, and you've given us life twice. The first time in the wombs of our mother, and the second time now, resurrection on the Day of Judgment. فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا, now we have agreed, we have admitted to our sins. We accept our sins. فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ, so is there any possible way any possible exit that we could find. What they're implying is, oh Allah, you did it twice. Can you do it a third time? Just one more time. Just send us back one more time. You did it twice already, right? You gave us death twice and you gave us life twice. Can you do it one more time? So we can, we agree, we accept all our deeds. Just give us one more time, one more chance. SubhanAllah. It's so powerful that فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذْنُوبِنَا, that these people, اِعْتِرَاف is to admit and accept something and be like convicted. When the people of Jahannam go to Jahannam, they won't be feeling that they were wronged. They won't feel like that I don't belong here. They would be convinced that yes, this is my place. فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذْنُوبِنَا. In fact, there's some narrations, probably not Allahu A'lam of the authenticity, but one of them says that the people, when they're going to hellfire, in their hearts they would have praise of Allah. Imagine the people going to hellfire, in their hearts would have praise of Allah because of how just He was to them on the Day of Judgment. He put out their entire record, they were given a fair trial, and then they were convicted, and they agreed that they were wrong, and then they are given the due justice, which is the hellfire to them. It's incredible, subhanAllah. We think that the person going to hellfire would be upset. They would be upset at themselves though. They're not upset at the fact that they wouldn't feel like I don't belong here, I'm being put here wrongly. They would be certain that this is what they're supposed to be. All they're asking for is just one more chance, so we can go back and rectify this. But now it's too late. Now it's way too late. So, subhanAllah, this is the surah, the beginning of Surah Ghafir. In which again we find this statement, فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely to Him, even if the disbelievers don't like it. Again, because dua is ibadah, Surah Zumar covered ibadah, worshipping Allah. Surah Ghafir is focusing on one, the crux of it, which is dua. Which is dua. Okay, he mentions something in Surah Ghafir. One of the most interesting things that is mentioned is the story of Musa alayhi salam, but with a twist. Let's read the story, inshallah, and let's also read the twist that this surah brings that other surahs in Quran don't have. Okay, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. Ayah number 23. إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَقَارُونَ فَقَالُوا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. We sent Musa alayhi salam with our signs and the clear authority to Fir'aun and Haman and Qarun. Fir'aun and Haman were the... Fir'aun was the king, the tyrant. Haman was his main thug, if you want to use that word, right? You can call him secretary of state or something. And then Qarun was the puppet. Qarun was the Bani Israeli who was the puppet. Right? This is modern day politics as well. You have Fir'aun, who was your tyrant, and you have your secretary of state, and you have all the allies who are puppets. And they are from the same ethnicity as the people who are being oppressed. They all are from the same, they're all Arab, aren't they? Right? SubhanAllah. So, فَقَالُوا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. They said, Sahir Kadhab, this person is here to trick us, this person is here to make a fool out of us. Kadhab, he's in fact a liar, a perpetual liar. Kadhib is a liar, the translation says a liar. But Kadhab is somebody who is a perpetual liar, he never tells the truth. So this is something, that's what they call Musa alayhi salam, the irony of all ironies. But we will continue to read. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. When he brought them the truth, from us, قَالُوا اقْتُلُوا أَبْنَاءَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ وَاسْتَحْيُوا نِسَاءَهُمْ. They said, kill the children, those who believe with him, and leave, kill the sons of those who believe with him, and leave the women alone. Because this is torture. You're killing the sons, is basically you're crippling a nation by killing their kids, by killing the next generation. That's what's happening right now too, right? The kids are being killed. And that's, if you read some of these articles that are coming out of Israel, from the academics of Israel, it's very stark. They actually, you know, say that this is a good strategy to deter more attacks, to deter attacks in the future. Kill their kids. Right? Subhanallah al-Azim. And this was the same people. The Bani Israel has now turned into Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun said the same thing. Kill the kids. That's the way we control them. That's the way we'll keep them in check. That's how we'll break their strength. وَاسْتَحْيُوا نِسَاءَهُمْ and keep their women alive. وَمَا كَيْدُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Because back in the day, men meant strength and army, and women meant weakness, somebody you had to protect. So make them weak and cripple their strength. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had other plans. Now, this is at a point, by the way. We read in Surah Shu'ara that Fir'aun said to Musa, if you don't stop, I will put you in prison. لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْجُونِينَ. Now we see Fir'aun saying, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدَعُ رَبَّهُ. Fir'aun said, let me kill Musa and let him make dua to his Lord for protection. He thinks his dua is going to help him. Let him make dua and let me go kill him. What has transpired? Keep in mind, Musa al-Islam grew up in the palace of Fir'aun. And Fir'aun was a title. Fir'aun wasn't a person. Fir'aun was a title of the king. So what the scholars have suggested is that this Fir'aun, this one right here, that Musa confronted, was actually the one, he was like a stepbrother to him. They grew up together in the palace of Fir'aun the father. Fir'aun the father, whose wife was Asiya, who rescued Fir'aun, who rescued Musa alayhi salam from the river, and she brought him up. That Fir'aun wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam right away. Musa alayhi salam ran away after the incident happened with the man, came back, and when he came back, the elder father had passed away, and the brother, or his stepbrother, had become the Fir'aun of the time. So initially, that Fir'aun didn't want to kill Musa because they had, you know, they grew up together. But now, the story has progressed to a point where now this Fir'aun is seeing a threat. So he says, okay, let's kill their kids to cripple the strength of Musa. And in fact, let's kill Musa as well. In fact, he says, I will go and kill Musa to put an end to this. Now this man is reaching to a point where he's becoming tyrannical. When a tyrant starts to see that his power is about to end and his authority is about to finish, they go crazy. They actually become even worse. So this is a stage that this guy is reaching. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يُبَدِّلَ دِينَكُمْ أَوْ أَن يُظْهِرَ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْفَسَادِ. I fear that he will change your religion, or that he will cause corruption in the earth. وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِنِّي عُثُّ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. Musa said, I seek Allah's refuge and protection of my Lord and your Lord. Reminding them that he's your Lord as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ كُلِّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِيَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. From every arrogant person who does not believe in the day of account, who does not believe in resurrection. Okay, now a very interesting passage comes. We're talking about da'wah, you're talking about how the message has to be given. And one of the things that iman is supposed to do in us is it's supposed to give us strength and courage. We saw that in the story of the magicians. They were the staunch enemies of Musa alayhi salam. When they saw the truth, they immediately accepted Islam. And then they said to Fir'aun, do whatever you want to do. You want to kill us? Kill us. It's okay. We just want to meet our master, being the first ones who believed in Musa. We saw Musa alayhi salam, and he was about to cross the river, and he's standing there, across the sea, and he's standing there. And his people are saying, Inna lamudrakun. That's it. They've caught up to us. We're toast. And Musa said, no, إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. My master is with me, he will guide me. This is what iman is supposed to do. Iman is supposed to give us strength and courage. Because if we only fear Allah and nobody else, that means that we are strong and we're brave. The person who is a coward is somebody who fears others. Fears, you know, society fears a particular person in, you know, for example. But the one who just fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the bravest of all men. Right? This is one of the things that iman is supposed to do. Conviction, true yaqeen in Allah and His Messenger is supposed to give us the utmost bravery. Because that's what's needed to stand up to the status quo and bring change. That's what's needed to deliver the message. So, here is a man who, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, a believing man from the family of Fir'aun. From the family of Fir'aun. يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَهُ, he was hiding his iman, but now he can't hide it anymore. Now it's getting very, you know, it's getting real now. Kids are being killed and Fir'aun wants to assassinate Musa alayhi salam. So now this man steps out of the shadows and he says, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And notice the power in his speech as we read the whole passage, and I'll comment at the very end. How his words basically change the whole equation. Okay, let's look at what he says. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Are you going to kill a man who's saying that Allah, my master is Allah, and he has brought you the truth from your master? وَإِن يَكُ كَاذِبًا فَعَلَيْهِ كَذِبُ. If he is a liar, then his lie will be, he's responsible for his lives. That's, he will pay for his lives. وَإِن يَكُ صَادِقًا, if he is truthful, يُصِبْكُمْ بَعْضُ الَّذِي يَعِدُكُمْ, what he has promised you, or part of what he's promised you, will no doubt come and hit you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ مُسْرِفٌ كَذَّابٌ. يَا قَوْمِ لَكُمُ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمَ ظَاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. SubhanAllah, he says, my people, today you have power and authority. ظَاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, you are clearly the ones who have authority on earth today. And then he says, don't forget that there could be a possibility that tomorrow you don't have power and authority. فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا. What's going to happen to us tomorrow when we don't have power and authority and Allah's punishment comes to us? Really powerful words. Now Fir'aun is also kind of, you know, like dilly-dallying. He's like, na urikum illa ma ara. Fir'aun says, I'm only, you know, putting forward my opinion here. Mama ahdikum illa sabila rashad. And I'm only going to take you to the straight path, saying, believe in me, this is the right thing to do. Let's kill their kids, let's kill Musa. Now the man who is believing is becoming more and more powerful. He says, قَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِثْلَ يَوْمِ الْأَحْزَابِ مِثْلَ دَأْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. He says, I fear that that same kind of punishment that befell people before us will also come and hit us. He says, يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمَ التَّنَادِ, I fear for you the day of judgment, the day of calling. يَوْمَ تُوَلُّونَ مُدْبِرِينَ, the day when you will turn your backs fleeing, meaning you won't care about each other, you won't care about who said what, you won't care who said kill this person, you'll be worried about yourself only. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ, مَا لَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ عَاصِمٍ, you won't have anybody to protect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day. He gives them a historical evidence. He says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ يُوسُفُ مِنْ قَبْلِ, Yusuf alayhi salam came before you, came before Musa, and you didn't really believe in him either. And he brought you proofs, and he saved the country from being destroyed. You didn't believe in him either. And subhanAllah, we'll continue to ayah number 36. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ ابْنِ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Fir'aun is now, you know, imagine this man is speaking, and he's convincing the people, he's giving them logical proofs. Don't get crazy over your power. You may not have power anymore tomorrow. And then what's going to happen? He says, I fear punishment will come to us like the punishment came to people before us. This man, if he's lying, it's his flaw, it's on him. But if he's telling the truth, if he's really a messenger, then watch out. We're going to get it. And then he provides historical evidence. He says, look, Yusuf came before. He was a messenger. He was of the same lineage. This is not, you know, it's not, you know, غير معقول. It's not unimaginable that Musa is also a prophet. He's from the same lineage. He's saying the same thing. He's bringing the same message as well. So now he's giving all these evidences in the court of Fir'aun, and imagine there's a silence. Fir'aun is basically lost his people in the court. So now he tries to say something else. He says, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا هَامَانُ ابْنِ لِي صَرْحًا لَعَلِّي أَبْلُغُ الْأَسْبَابِ. He says to Haman, his secretary of state, that Haman, build for me a tower so I can climb that tower. أَسْبَابَ السَّمَوَاتِ فَأَطَّلِعَ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِ مُوسَى وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا. He says, I want to go meet the ilah of Musa, and I want to have a conversation with him, and I want to, like, you know, like, negotiate with him, but I think he's lying, Musa. I mean, Fir'aun has lost the plot. He's lost the plot here completely. And that's why Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِفِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ وَصُدَّ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. He refused to see, he just refused to be reasoned with. And that's why whatever he was, nonsense he was saying, was made to look good to him. And وَمَا كَيْدُ فِرْعَوْنَ إِلَّا فِي تَبَابٍ. The man who was the believing man continues. He says, "وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ." He notices an opportunity. He says, "People, follow me. I will take you to سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ, the right way of conduct, the right path. I will take you to the right path. I am from you. I am from the people of Fir'aun. Follow me." He senses an opportunity here. He says, يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةِ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. He says, my people, this life is nothing but, you know, mata'a is just enjoyment, it's just things that we use and throw away. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. And the life of the akhirah is the one that is truly, you know, everlasting. He continues, and he says, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاتِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ. What is it with you people? I'm telling you to come to Jannah and you are calling me to the fire. And then he says, فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. You will remember what I said. You will remember what I'm saying right now. You will remember it in the future. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And I, you know, basically entrust my life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha basirun bil ibad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, he sees his servants and his slaves. Now his iman is out in the open, so obviously his life is probably at stake as well. But Allah says, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. But Allah saved him. This is the idea of courage and bravery. Remember, the surah was talking about dua, and all the hameems are talking about the importance of giving da'wah, providing us with the tools of giving da'wah. Here is a man who, against all odds, he's weak, he's in the court of Fir'aun, his life is probably going to be taken once he said these words. Doesn't matter. He stands up for what's right, he delivers the message to the best of his capabilities. And to the point he even prevents some of what Fir'aun was plotting through the power of his words. We can never underestimate the power of our words. And especially in the face of a tyrant, you can never underestimate their power. And also, the bravery that's required to stand up only comes with conviction and faith. Now, this ayah also has a side point. This ayah mentions something that is interesting. The people who deny the sunnah always make a big deal out of it, but we'll talk about it here. He said, وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. النَّارُ يُغْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا. The punishment that Fir'aun's people had is the fire, that they are basically, they're exposed to it, غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا, morning and evening. And then he says, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَ. The judgment day comes, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Enter the people of Fir'aun in the most severe type of punishment. You notice what the ayah is saying? The first part says, they are already, يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوبًا وَعَشِيًّا. They are presently being exposed to the fire, morning and evening. And when they are resurrected, they will be put into the most severe punishment, أشد العذاب. The people who deny the hadith or the authority of the hadith, they say that hadith are made up and whatnot. They say that there's no punishment of the grave. That's made up stuff. That is not something that we find in the Quran. But the Quran makes a very clear, allusion to it. The punishment that they're going through right now is punishment of the grave. And the punishment that they'll go through on the Day of Judgment is, of course, the punishment of the hellfire. When we die, our souls are now will be transferred to the barzakh. The barzakh is the life of the grave. And the Prophet has informed us that the person will see their place in Jannah and their place in hellfire. Their place in Jahannam and their place in Jannah. And if he's a person of Jannah, then the position of hellfire will be closed and he will only see his place in Jannah and he will enjoy and anticipate the resurrection. And if it's a person who is going to hellfire, both those places will be shown to him to add to his regret. This is where you're going, this is where you could have gone. SubhanAllah, really, really, and then there's all the hadith about the punishment of the grave. They're all related to the soul. They're all related to the soul because the body will decay and rot away. So the barzakh is that state. That's where these people are being punished. That's where anybody who goes after their, anybody who doesn't believe in Allah or has committed certain types of sins, that's where they receive their punishment. And then of course the ultimate will be on the Day of Judgment when resurrection happens. Now, the surah we're going to skip to one part in the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says huwa alladhi khalaqakum min turabin thumma min nutfatin thumma min alaqatin thumma yukhrijukum tiflan thumma litablughu ashuddakum thumma litakunu shuyukha. Concluding remarks the surah makes again about dua, the completion of our tawheed is with dua, the importance of calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the concluding remarks here are basically putting life in perspective. This ayah puts life in perspective. He is the one who created you min turab, from dust. It could mean he created Adam alayhi salam from dust. It could mean that the sperm that fertilized the mother's the egg in the mother, that source was when a person who eats from what's coming out of the earth, they get the strength and they're able to produce that. So that could also mean turab as well. ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَ. And then from the drop of sperm that is mixed with the fertilized, that has been fertilized in the womb of the mother. ثُمَّ مِن عَلَقَ. Then when that fertilized egg and sperm is hanging as a clot from the uterus. ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skips the phases. Notice the usage of the word ثُمَّ. ثُمَّ denotes a phase. So ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. Then he takes you out as a baby. Baby comes out completely helpless, doesn't even know how to burp. Forget about anything else. Doesn't even know how to burp. They have to be fed and then burped and changed, and then fed and burped and changed. SubhanAllah, completely helpless. ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. And even the weakness is such that you notice the head of the baby, it's not like our head, which is, our skull is formed. The baby's skull is not fully formed yet. So the bones are still developing, they're soft. The neck is still developing. It's, you can't just leave a baby hanging, the neck will basically fall over, subhanAllah. Everything is so weak. Everything is underdeveloped. But then Allah says, ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. Then you reach your peak. Everything is fully developed. Everything, you're at the peak of your powers. ثُمَّ لِتَكُونُوا شُيُوخًا. And then you become old and weak and powerless again. This is life. Weakness, power, back to weakness. Meaning that we are limited creatures, small in our capacity, and we can't, just because we have some power, some authority doesn't mean that it should go to our head. Because we were, our origins were extremely humble and weak, and our end is going to be extremely humble and weak as well. The beginning and end shows us our true reality. And he says, even وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلِتَبْلُغُوا أَجَلًا مُسَمَّى وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. All of these are given as examples so you can think. Life can be put in perspective for you. هُوَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Allah says, ayah number 68, He is the one who gives life and He takes life. فَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And when he wants to do something, all he has to say is kun, be, fayakun. So it is. Towards the very end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of a people. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Historical evidence. The Quran gives logical evidences. The Quran gives evidences that we can see. It makes arguments like, look at your own self. But it also provides a lot of historical evidences. And part of this is this, a generic historical evidence. No names are mentioned. فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. You know, people before us, كَانُوا أَكْثَرَ مِنْهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ قُوَّةً وَآثَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Even what the translation says is, they used to be more, and they were stronger, and they left behind greater monuments. Very fascinating. The ancient monuments, if you go to Egypt, if you go to Luxor, and they have these incredible castles and mansions. And you know, there's these pillars, and there's lines that run down the pillars, straight lines. These pillars are massive, like they are towering pillars, and the lines are so precisely straight and equally spaced. It's unbelievable. And they are all over the pillars, and they are parallel lines. And these are carved in stone and marble. This is not, you know, plywood. It's not just Play-Doh. Most of the homes are made with plywood and Play-Doh, unfortunately. Not with Play-Doh, I'm just joking. But you get the idea, it's very cheap material. This is premium material, like rock and marble. And it's carved with such precision, it's unbelievable. That's what Allah says. These people were so powerful, they left behind monuments that have stood for a millennia. Just to give you a glimpse of how much skill they had. Sure, they did not have the industrial processes and the economy that we have, but their monuments give us an idea of how skilled they were, regardless. And Allah says, despite their skill and power and whatever they had, فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. All of that got them nothing. Because فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. When the messengers came to them, فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Because they had skill, because they had power, because they had technology, they were happy with whatever they had. فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And then eventually, whatever they used to mock, this idea of punishment, resurrection, day of judgment, that came back and haunted them. In fact, completely took them. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْا بَأْسَنَا. But now, these people are showing their weak side. When they saw our punishment, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. We have believed in Allah, وَحْدَهُ, only in Allah, nobody else. وَكَفَرْنَا بِمَا كُنَّا بِهِ مُشْرِكِينَ. And all the things we used to do in the past, we have nothing to do with anymore. فَلَمْ يَكُ يَنْفَعُهُمْ إِيمَانُهُمْ لَمَّا رَأَوْا بَأْسَنَا. So, of course, their iman at this point in time, لَمْ يَكُ يَنْفَعُهُمْ إِيمَانُهُمْ. It brought them no good when they saw our punishment. Iman brings good before مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغَرْ, like the hadith says, before it's too late, before the soul is about to leave the body. Once it gets to that point, that iman makes no difference. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ فِي عِبَادِي وَخَسِرَ هُنَالِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ. And this is how Allah has always done things. This is a historical example that is generic. And this has been the case throughout history, because Allah says سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ. This is how He's been doing things. قَدْ خَلَتْ فِي عِبَادِهِ وَخَسِرَ هُنَالِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Next surah, Surah Fussilat. We're going to quickly skim through it and go back to the end of the Surah Zumur. Surah Fussilat is not very long, but Surah Fussilat mentions Quran numerous times. Surah Fussilat is the second of the Hameems. The first Hameem was Surah غافر. Surah Fussilat is the second Hamim. And it begins again with the same word, Tanzeelum min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Look at Surah Zumar, 39 became with Tanzeel. Surah number 40, Ghafir began with Tanzeel. Surah number 41, Fussilat also begins with Tanzeel. These surahs are talking about the glory of the Quran in general. And specifically Surah Fussilat will address that a lot. Kitabun Fussilat Ayatuhu. This is a book that whose verses have been detailed. Something is mentioned in brief somewhere, and then it's expanded upon in detail when it's appropriate later on. Quranan Arabiyan liqawmi ya'lamun. It is an Arabic Quran. Quran is a name now. The book is called Quran. The Quran linguistically means something that is read. This is a thing that is recited in Arabic. That's one meaning. Another meaning is, this is a recital that is of the most pristine value. Because Arab, A'raba al-Kalam, means somebody who was extremely proficient in their speech and very, very eloquent in their speech. Very precise in their speech. Like the Arabs would say, يُرِيدُ أَن يُعْرِبَهُ فَيُعْجِمُهُ. He wants to be precise, but he ends up rambling. Right? So the Quran is precise. Despite the fact that it's detailed, it's precise, it's on point. لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ is for a people who want to know, or a people who know. Now, this surah deals a lot with the Quran. So I'm going to skip to those parts that talk about the Quran. For example, I'm going to go to... Oh, by the way, this is actually, I can't not mention this. Right, this surah, when it was revealed, one of the things that we find in the hadith about this surah, which is authentic, is Uthbat ibn Rabi'a, one of the great chiefs of Quraysh, he came and he was, the people of Quraysh were, you know, at odds with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a while, and they said to Uthbah, you go and talk to him, you are related to him, he respects you, go and talk to him. So Uthba went and he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Muhammad, what is it that you want? You want money? We'll give you all the money that we have. You want power? We'll give you authority of Quraysh. You can become our leader. It's okay if you just tell us. Do you want women? We'll get you the best women in Quraysh and you can marry them. What is it that you want? Right? And he kept talking and he kept talking and he kept talking and the Prophet ﷺ kept listening. And then he said, are you done? Are you done speaking now? Uthba said, yes, I'm done speaking. And then the Prophet ﷺ started to recite the beginning passages of Surah Fussilat. He started to recite from the beginning of Hamim, Tanzeelum min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he kept reading the surah until he got to this point. فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. If they turn away, then I tell them, I warn you of a صَاعِقَة, a thunderbolt, that is like the thunderbolt of عَاد and ثَمُود, a moment of punishment that was like the moment of punishment of عَاد and ثَمُود. And Uthba got up and he put his hand on the Prophet Muhammad's mouth. He says, just stop. Because we don't want to get zapped. We don't want the thunderbolt to strike us right now. Uthba the kafir, who died in Badr as a kafir, by the way, had so much iman, so much yaqeen, not iman, so much conviction that the message, the Quran was true, he stopped the Prophet ﷺ from reading it. He says, don't read anymore. I'm afraid it's going to happen. And then he got up and left. And when he came back, Abu Jahl and all the other leaders were like, you know, he's come back with a different face that he went. Like his face has changed totally. And then that's when he said his famous statement, خَلُّ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْعَرَبِ. He said, leave Muhammad. Just leave him. Don't do anything to him. Because if you were to harm him, punishment is going to hit you. Let him do what he's doing. Just take a back seat. فَإِنْ أَصَابُوهُ فَقَدْ كَفَوْتُكُمْ إِيَّاهُ. If they catch him, the Arabs as a general, as a nation, if they kill him, then they've done the job for you. فَإِنْ عَلَىٰ عَلَيْهِمْ فَعِزُّهُ عِزُّكُمْ وَمُلْكُهُ مُلْكُكُمْ. But if he was to be the victorious one over them, over the Arabs, then his kingdom is your kingdom, and his glory is your glory. Very famous verse from Utbah. And he kept saying this. Even on the battle of Badr, he was telling the people, don't go to battle. But then Abu Jahl, the Fir'aun that he was, incited him. He says, you're only saying this because your son has believed, and you don't want to kill your son. That's the only reason why you're saying this. And then he became angry, and they went to Badr, the battle of Badr, and of course we know what happened there. Utbah was the one who was killed in the skirmish that was pre-war. But the point to notice is he was so convinced that this is going to happen. Because the Qur'an was so powerful. It was so powerful that it shook Utbah, the kafir. How much more should we be shaken by it when we are listening to it and then we are studying it? May Allah SWT give us understanding of the Qur'an. Now, here is a very interesting passage. وَيَوْمَ يُحْشَرُ أَعْدَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَى النَّارِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. The day when the enemies of Allah will be gathered, you know, إِلَى النَّارِ, to the fire. They'll be gathered and they'll be, you know, directed to the fire. فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. And they'll be assembled. People who are, you know, like if cattle is assembled in lines, it's got no value, right? It's to show that they'll be gathered and assembled because they'll be absolutely, they have no value, no power, no authority this day. حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And when they come, their own hearing, and their own sight, and their own skin will testify against them. They will lie on the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, we didn't do this. This didn't happen. I never said this. I never saw that. And the eyes and the skin will testify. And this is a really stark image. وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. They'll be talking to their limbs. And they will say, why are you saying this against us? We are with you, remember? And the limbs would say, no, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The one who gave everybody the ability to talk is the one who gave us the ability to talk as well. وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And he created you the first time, and to him you will return. To show that here, that the one who tries to lie on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn his own body against them. That day there is no escaping, there's no lying. It's all truth that day. Now, in this surah we also find the very powerful passage. In إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Ayah number 30. That those who said that our master is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they remained firm. They didn't, you know, say, okay, I'm gonna have fun and enjoy life and, you know, do this with this girl and have fun with that girl and then I'll become a good person, marry a righteous sister and start a nice family and everything will be okay afterwards. No. Istaqamu. They kept firm. They kept firm. It wasn't like, okay, let me party and have fun now and make hajj later and everything will be fine. Istaqamu. They stood firm. What happens? Tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. Angels will descend upon them. When is this happening? You know, the previous scene from the Day of Judgment, right? When the people on the Day of Judgment are suffering. This scene is not the Day of Judgment, because the Day of Judgment, they would see the Prophet ﷺ, and they would see that they'll be gathered in, you know, they'll be standing next to, you know, Sahaba, and they'll be standing next to Prophets. So they would have pretty much a lot of evidence, you know, like visual evidence, they could see. This is when they're dying. And they're dying and they're afraid of what's going to happen. And they're afraid of what's going to happen to their families. And at that moment, imagine this. Everything you spent your life doing, that moment that is supposed to be the scariest moment of your life, turns into the happiest moment of your life. In which the angels come, and they see the angels, and the angels are telling them, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. Don't be afraid. Don't be sad. Everything is good. You believed and you were right. You made it. أبشروا بالجنة. Be happy. You have Jannah. التي كنتم توعدون. The one that you were promised. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. We will take care of your family. We'll make sure that they get by. وفي الآخرة and in the آخرة as well we'll be with you. ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون. Whatever you want, you'll get. Because you sacrificed a lot in dunya. You gave up a lot. Things that you wanted. In the akhirah, whatever you want, you'll have. The essence of taqwa is to give up what we don't, to give up things. We want to all have fun. We all want to, you know, get as much pleasure at any expense. This is human nature. But we give that, a lot of that up. Adultery, you know, lots of pleasure we give up because it's not consistent with our iman. It's not consistent with our morals and ethics. So because we give up a lot on the day of judgment, in fact, in Jannah, we will get everything that we wanted. تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever desire there is, everything will be given, subhanAllah. Because sacrifices were made in the dunya. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you want, whatever you call for, you'll get. نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. SubhanAllah. Nuzul is something that is brought close. It's, you know, Jannah is high, but Allah describes it as نُزُلًا. It's brought lowered. Because for the people who go there, all the things, all the luxuries and pleasures in it will be brought close to them. نُزُلًا. Because it's from Allah who is Ghafoor and Rahim. SubhanAllah. Really, really powerful ayat. This surah, towards the very end, it says to the Prophet, مَا يُقَالُ لَكَ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ قِيلَ لِلرُّسُلِ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةً وَذُو عِقَابٍ عَلِيمٍ وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. If you were to make this a non-Arab Qur'an, if the message was in any other language but Arabic, the people would have said, you know, لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَعَرَبِيٌّ. How is it that a prophet who is ethnically Arab but the message is not in Arabic? Doesn't make any sense. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to refute this criticism. Before this ayah, He tells the Prophet, everything that's been said to you has been said to people before you. Okay? So don't worry about what's said. One of the things that's said, assume the Qur'an was not in Arabic. Right? Then it would be said by the Quraysh, how come this Arab Prophet, who is ethnically an Arab, his message is not in Arabic? Because the message is in the language of the person who is the messenger. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in a really beautiful way. He says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. Say, this Qur'an is for those who have iman, hudan and shifa. It is a guide, it's a place where they can go for to look for answers. وَشِفَاء, it is a place where they can go to get healing. To heal what ails them. This is what the Qur'an is. And he says, implying implicitly, it doesn't matter what ethnicity they're from. It doesn't matter what language they speak. If they have iman, this book is hudan and shifa for them. It is a guide for them. It gives them answers. And it heals what ails them. It doesn't matter what language they speak. Because they have iman. They're looking for the truth. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرٌ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى. And those who don't have iman, in their ears is a waqr, is a barrier. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى. And all the truth and the guidance in it, they're blind to it. Implicitly saying, even if they are from the very same ethnicity as the one who was given the message. You see the subtlety here. The Quraysh were the ones who spoke Arabic. Yet, وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَمَى. They were blind to the truth of the message. And the ones who were ethnically non-Arab, like Bilal, like Suhaib, they immediately accepted it. Like Ammar, very few ethnically non-Arabs who lived in Mecca at that time, right? They immediately accepted it. It didn't matter, the language doesn't matter. What matters is the one who looks for the truth. He looks for the truth, it doesn't matter what his ethnicity is, what language he speaks, he will find guidance and he will find healing in the book. And even if the person speaks the most fluent Arabic, the most proficient Arabic, Quraysh were masters of Arabic, yet they didn't believe in Allah, or they didn't believe particularly in the Akhirah. For them, they might as well be blind. For them, it might as well be in any other language. This is the refutation that Allah provides, that you're arguing over what language the Quran is revealed in. It doesn't matter what language is revealed in. The one who wants guidance will find it in it. And the one who doesn't want it, he might as well be blind. He's not going to see any evidence that this thing provides them. And Allah gives also another example. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ Musa was given the book, and that was it in Arabic, and people disagreed about that book as well. It's not about the language, it's not about what language the Prophet spoke, or his ethnicity. The ones who are looking for the truth will find it, regardless of the ethnicity, regardless of the language. And the ones who don't, doesn't matter. It could be in their very coming from their own families, and they won't accept it. And we've seen lots of examples of that historically. And Allah says, "Man amila salihan fali nafsi, wa man asa'a fa 'alayha, wa ma rabbuka bi dhallamin lil 'abid." That the one who does good is for himself. If a person accepts the message, it's for their own good. And the one who doesn't do so, it's their own loss. "Man asa'a fa 'alayha," it's their own loss. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ And Allah is not unjust to the servants. The one who wants to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with Allah in the Day of Judgment. In Jannah, the one who doesn't want to be with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not keep him with him. He will put him in hellfire. And that is out of his justice. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ Now let's go to Surah Zumar. This is where the juz ends, by the way. But let's go to Surah Zumar. At the end of Surah Zumar, those incredible passages that we skipped. I'm going to start from ayah number 68. This is into the middle of the juz, or this is right in the beginning of the juz. And this passage is really stark, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me the ability to convey the good from this message, bring out the points from this page, inshallah. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ And the horn will be blown. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ So whoever is in the heavens, وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ And in the earth will fall dead. إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ Except for who Allah wills. So this is the first beginning of the Day of Judgment. نُفِقَ فِي الصُّور The horn is blown, everybody dies. All angels, all human beings, everybody is dead and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى Then it will be blown again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامُ يَنْظُرُونَ Everybody who ever lived will be brought back to life. This is the beginning of the Day of Judgment. وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِدُورِ رَبِّهَا And the earth will shine with the nur, with the light of its master. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ And the book will be placed. What is the book here? The book of records. What people have done. All people, their records will be put forth. وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ And the prophets will be brought forward. Why are the prophets being brought forward? Because they were the ones. فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ For sure we will ask those who received the message. وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And for sure we will interrogate the prophets as well. Because theoretically speaking, if the prophet did not deliver the message, then the prophet is at fault, not the people. So here, of course, every prophet delivered the message. But here, the prophets are brought as well because of the responsibility that they were given. وَالشُّهَدَى And the people who are witnesses. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ And with truth, the judgment will be given. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And no one will be wronged. وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ Every single person will be given their share. If a person was wronged in this life, they did something good, they told the truth, and because they told the truth, they suffered, they will be given their due. And the person who cheated in this dunya, they will be paying for that. And this is not even for a person who has iman or not. In every single circumstance, even the animals, if there's an animal who had, the hadith describes the animals who had horns, and they took advantage of that, and they basically beat up the animals who didn't have horns, even them, between them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish justice. And then He will proceed to the human beings, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ, and He is the most knowledgeable of what they have done. I want you to imagine the level of justice that this day establishes. Even the animals will get justice. Even the animals. This is why, you know, the idea of without the day of judgment, it's very difficult to explain life. What kind of life is this? That if I do good, I tell the truth, and then I suffer. I stand up for what's right, and then I'm persecuted. Right? It doesn't make any sense. On the day of judgment, you'll be paid back for that. The one who rejects the idea of the day of judgment cannot explain this life. They're fundamentally at odds with explaining the reality of life. You need the day of judgment to completely explain it. Now, the ones who completely reject the akhirah, this is the mention of them. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. They will be driven to hellfire in groups. Zumar is groups, many, many different types of groups, you know, grouped by, you know, what they used to do, all the tyrants in one group, all the people who were financially corrupt in one group, all the people who trampled on the rights of others in one group, all of them will be grouped, and then they'll be taken to hellfire. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, until when they come to the gates of Jahannam. فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, the Jahannam has a roar. Jahannam has a roar. It says in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ.
That it's got a roar, and it's about to burst in anger. It's about to burst in anger. That's how severe it is. So, the day of judgment, these people are taken to hellfire. The gates of hellfire are closed. The gates of hellfire are closed. They're not open. But as they are taken to it, their destination, they can hear hellfire. And they can hear the growling. And they can hear the intensifying of it. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, when they arrive at the door, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, you know, all of a sudden the doors will be flung open. And then that shock of seeing Jahannam, they will experience it firsthand. And not just that, وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, the people, the angels who stand at the doors, خَزَنَة of the basic, the guardians of hellfire, they would add to the torture. They would say, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ, didn't you receive messengers? Didn't messengers come to you? مِّنْكُمْ, who were from you, يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ, they used to recite upon you the ayat of your master, وَيُنْذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, and they used to warn you of this day. Didn't this all happen? قَالُوا بَلَى, they would say, of course, we knew about this, and we had a very good, we had conviction of this, but we kept rejecting it. We made it a profession to say that there is no beginning of the universe, and there is going to be no end to it, and there is no God, and this and that. We made this into a profession. Of course, all of this was given to us. All these news were provided to us. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. But of course, the punishment is binding upon those who have, you know, lived their life denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قِيلَ دُخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. It will be said to them, enter the gates of hellfire and be there forever. And what a terrible place for people to live in. What a terrible place of residence for those who had arrogance, for those who looked down upon people, for those who saw the truth and turned away from it. That's a mutakabbir. Al-kibru bataru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas. Like the Prophet said, arrogance is rejecting the truth and looking down on people. And this is the people that are going to hellfire. those who look down on other people, oh, these believers, you know, they're crazy. Or this message is the truth, you know, there's no proof for the existence of the soul, there's no proof for the existence of God, and this is all lies, and that's it. This idea, فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ, too arrogant to, you know, do some searching, to do some reflecting. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. On the flip side, those who had taqwa of their master will be taken to Jannah. Until حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا, when they come to it, وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, while the doors are open. Notice the difference. The difference between two ayahs. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. You notice the difference? There's a wow there between the two ayat. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. The wow is added for the believers. This tells us, this wow is called wow al-haliyya, is to show the state of something. They're coming while the doors are open. You know, جَنَّةُ عَدْدٍ مُفَتَّحَةً لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابِ. The gates of Jannah are open. Allah is inviting people to it. When someone invites a guest, they leave the door open. Right? When they're expecting a guest, you will leave the door open to show that you're welcoming them. Allah has left the gates of Jannah open to welcome us in Jannah. SubhanAllah. And the gates of Jahannam are closed because Allah does not want people to go to Jahannam. But people choose to go there themselves. Now the gates are open and they're coming in. And they're entering. So now they're seeing Jannah from as they're entering. Right? And that adds to the pleasure. Because you can see where you're going. You know, one of the best parts of a road trip is not just getting there, but just as you're about to get there. Right? If you're going to the beach or something, one of the best parts of the journey is when you see the water from the car. And you know, okay, they're almost there. We're almost there. Right? You can see the water. And now, boom, we're at the beach. That same feeling, you see Jannah, oh subhanAllah, I can see it. And as you're getting closer and closer, this adds to the pleasure. وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. And the ones who are standing on the doors of Jannah, they will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you. You know, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, there'll be good things will be said to them. They'll be saluted. طِبْتُمْ, you were pure. You made it. You did a good job. فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ, so enter it and stay in it forever. Now what's an incredible subtlety here is this. Allah says, the people of Jahannam, when they get to the gates of Jahannam, when they get there, the doors will be opened. Right? In Arabic, if you have when something happens, then this will happen. You need a then clause. When he talks about the people of Jannah, this is called Shart wa Jawab Shart in grammar. The people of Jannah are said, when they get to Jannah, while the gates are opened, and the angels are saying, you did a good job, and enter it and live in it forever, what's missing? The then part. Right? When they enter Jannah, then this happens. That then part's not mentioned in the ayah. The next ayah talks about وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي, and the people who enter Jannah will be saying this. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَ, who has made the promise true. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضِ, and made us inherit the earth. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ, we can live in Jannah however we want. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, and what an amazing reward this is for the ones who would do things in life. Because Jannah is earned. Right? You have to do things to earn Jannah. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. The thing to notice subtlety here, subhanAllah, is when they arrive there, then what happens? Then is not mentioned. Because Jannah's pleasures cannot be limited to just words. They can't be restricted or bound by words. So when you get there, then what happens? You have to get there to see. SubhanAllah. It's not even described. It's beyond description. The pleasure and the happiness that's there, it's beyond words. It's not even put in words. It's a really beautiful subtlety between the two passages. For the ones who enter Jahannam, When they get there, the gates are open. For the ones who are entering Jannah, when they get there, the gates are already opened, and the angels are saying this, and they're saying that. But then what happens? That then part is not mentioned. Because that is for something for the people of Jannah to experience when they get there. It can't be limited. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah, we'll end with that. Surah Zumar is an incredible surah, and we will end our brief study of it there, inshallah. We already are over time. But Jazakumullah khairan for sticking around. Tomorrow we will do juz number 25. We will cover the rest of the hamims, inshallah, except Surah Ahqaf. And we have some really interesting things to cover tomorrow. Surah Shura, Surah Zukhruf, the one I'm looking forward to actually, in fact, the most is Surah Jathiya, right? Towards the very end, inshallah. So hopefully you all can join us tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.